Hello, everyone. Seeing who is on here with me this evening on this nasty, if you're in the South with me, you're in some nasty, nasty rain for sure. We have had tornado warnings and flood warnings and all the things today. I actually have some water that is coming up into my yard. I'm hoping that it stays far, far away. So I'm assuming everyone can hear me. Can you just let me know if everyone can hear me? And while everybody is getting on, I was going to talk about, I was going to talk about something I read from James Clear today. You know, the guy that wrote Atomic Habits. He said, and he has this 3-2-1, that's his like newsletter or something. He had a quote, "An imperfect start can always be improved, but obsessing over a perfect plan will never take you anywhere on its own." Because I know so many of you are, you know, call yourself perfectionists all the time, but there is this idea called B plus work. So it's just do something, get it to a B plus, and then you can improve on it. But if you never get started, right, you're going to have a hard, you know, you don't have anything to improve on. You don't know what works, what doesn't work. Same thing with your food plan and doing all the things P&P. You know, it's better just to put something down, even if it may not even at first be a realistic plan, but just put it down. And then you'll know where you need to go from there, you know, how you can improve on that. So I just thought it was really good. I thought it really applied to P&P. So this is a Q&A. So this is how it works. Y'all could talk amongst yourself in the chat. If you are talking in the chat, remember to select all panelists and attendees so that everybody can see what you're saying. And I will be looking at the Q&A. So if you have any questions at all, you just pop them in the Q&A and I will answer them. And I will answer them until there are no questions left. And then we will be done. Unless it's over an hour, then we'll be done in an hour. So that is how it works. So I'll go ahead and start answering questions. I have one over here now. It is from Julie Coleman. When Kathy told you to tweak your 2-2, what did you say to yourself to stop you from eating past a 2? Well, she was having me, at first, she was having me leave half my dinner. This is how it started. So I was definitely not at my negative 2. But I did, during that week that I tweaked my twos, I ate undistracted. I really did watch what I was doing. And when I was trying to find my twos, I did some crazy stuff, y'all, because I was a picker. Like, I was definitely a picker. And so, like, especially if you would go to restaurants. And if I would, I'd have the thought, I think I might be at my negative 2. The next thing I would do is pour water on my plate. I have also been known to rub my napkin on the bottom of my shoe and put it on top of my plate. I have done that as well. Just to get used to stopping at the 2. And eating undistracted for that week really did help me see like exactly how I was feeling. And you just, that starts to be your normal after a while. Like now I just recognize it. And eating past it is kind of uncomfortable. But yeah, I have also just ordered a to-go box as soon as my food comes, if I'm in a restaurant, and I'll put half of it away immediately. And then I realized that I was eating out of that box. Whenever they would finish my half, would eat out of the box. So then I would tell the waiter to take it to the back or throw it in the trash for me. So that's how I started. I was like, I was determined to find my 2. But I really, I've made a point always to leave bites behind at first. So that was one way that I helped find my positive 2. But mine is that question. Could I be at my negative, I mean, at my positive 2? It's always yes. When your brain starts to ask you that question, yes, you are. And then my other big tell is when I look for the good bite. Like if I'm eating a salad, I'm like, oh, there's one crouton left because I still put croutons on my salad. And when I start to look for the good parts of the salad that are left, or whatever my meal is, I'm like, I'm done. That's my two. And I'm just telling you, I was like, no, I'm going to see if this works. Like, this is going to work. I just knew it was going to work. And that's what I kept telling myself. I know this is going to work. And I'm going to do what she said. When Corinne said do something, I did it. So that's kind of how I did it. Y'all are not very questiony today. There are no more questions. So, yeah. Oh, there is one. Nancy, I feel like I've been doing all the work, but the scale isn't moving. My brain is telling me I need to start looking at my calories to see what's happening, because to never be finishing my meals, et cetera, not eating when I'm not hungry. Like yesterday, I only had one meal, but the scale will not budge. Am I right to start looking at my calories, or how long would you keep going until you try something else? I would not look at my calories. And here's why. Well, first of all, if you have all of your data, you can put it in here. Like, what percentage are you following your plan? What percentage are you making your plan from the habit tracker in the PMP workbook? You know, how much water are you getting? Are you getting it consistently? Are you getting your sleep? Because Corinne says that you are not at a true plateau unless you're like pretty darn near perfect on all the rest of them. So that would be what I would look at first. I would figure out where you are not like 95, 96% and above. And that's where I would start looking. But I would not count calories. You have a tribe full of women, a group full of women who, who don't have, I mean, I still don't count calories, but that's what I would look at. And you only had one meal. Sometimes it happens. You know, I haven't had dinner the last two nights. So, I mean, that, I just wasn't hungry. It was late. I wasn't really hungry. And I didn't have dinner. So that happens sometimes. And during those times, just remind yourself that your body is dining in. Let's see. Nothing is consistent in terms of tracking, planning, but I'm consistently putting less on my plate and not finishing meals. This is what your brain is probably saying. It's so much better than before. But I used to eat so much more, you know, but I'm doing so much better. This is so much better than I used to do. But without that data, you really don't know what you're doing. So I'm going to say, this is what I'm going to say, Nancy, be all in for a month in the habit tracker. All in for a month. Get all of the information so that you can go back and look at it with a clear lens and say, this is exactly what I'm doing. This is exactly where I need to level up. You know, that's what I would do. Because without that information, you know, your brain starts spinning. Well, I do have less, but I am drinking more water, but I am going to bed a little bit earlier. Like, really start looking at your information and see exactly what you have. And then you can come back. If you're still not losing, once you get all those things in line, then we can absolutely help you tweak whatever you need to tweak and give you good information. Julie Coleman, and then you wait till -2 again. Yes, you always wait till -2 until you are, until you eat again. That's how it works. Kimberly, can you talk about your struggles with wine? I want to reduce my consumption, but I truly enjoy a couple of glasses after work. What is your advice for reducing the amount you consume without creating a forbidden fruit scenario with wine? It's not forbidden for me. Because I still have it 3 days a week. So, it's still not forbidden. I just decided that I had let mine get way out of control. I was not happy with it. Kimberly, you need to decide, what do you want your relationship with wine to be? I decided I did not want to drink wine during the week, unless it was like a special occasion, like Christmas or New Year's or whatever. And then I just crafted my plan around that so that I could decide how I wanted to level up. So for me, I was drinking 4 to 6 glasses every day. So my first level up was 1 bottle a day. I could only open up 1 bottle a day. And then 1 bottle every 2 days, and then 2 bottles a week, like during the week. And that's how I leveled up my wine. But you need to define what you want your relationship with wine to be, so that you know where you're going, right? Because you just, you know, and if you're happy with having your couple of glasses of wine, then that's completely fine. But, you know, if you just want one, then you just, you know, one. So you, and it's the same thing as with food. It's like urges, right? So if you decide that you want to level up from 2 glasses a night to 1 glass a night, then you're going to expect some urges and all the chatter to go on in your brain. And you can use the urge meditation. You can use the urge worksheet. You can use all of that stuff. The same tools that are in P&P, you can use those to deal with your wine consumption as well. But I would first, you need to know what you want that relationship to look like. Anonymous. For DSB, you say cotton isn't supposed to be used for clothes such as socks and t-shirts. What about undies? Undies as well, because that is like, that's right, what is up next to your body. And I will tell you, I tried every undie under, I probably bought 10 different brands of underwear. So when you see me running, I'll have on underwear. I hate them. I hate running in underwear. So there's that. But anything that's going to touch your body should not be cotton. It does not wick the sweat away from you. Jessica, I'm about 30 days in and I'm feeling like I'm getting discouraged, even though I don't want to. I'm wondering if I tried to do too much too quickly. Should I start no BS again? You absolutely could if you wanted to, if you wanted to go back and listen. Or you could just say like, hey, now I've already gone through no BS. These are the things that I see I need to work on, and go back and focus on those things. You know, see what it is. Like if you're struggling making your plan, go back and listen to the planner pages. If you, you know, so you don't have to go through the whole thing again if you don't want to. And also on the website, I don't know if any of many of you know this, but like there is a search bar on the P&P website. You can go in and type in anything that you want to know about, and it'll pull up a bunch of different videos that pertain to whatever it is that you're trying to look at, like whatever you want. So, and you know, you can look up stuff in there to get like a different perspective after you've gone through no BS. And those are great. I mean, it's a great resource that we have so that you can go in there and look. And also, Jessica, you can go in. I mean, you're getting discouraged, but you're not really saying, maybe you can tell me like why you're feeling discouraged. Like, are you just not keeping your plans, or like, you know, what is that? You can also go and like expand on that and ask coaches. So it's on the website under Get Coached, Ask Coaches. And we answer those within 24 to 48 hours. It's usually closer to the 24-hour mark. And we can even include some of those resources in our answers so that you can just go in there and find some stuff if you want us to help you with that. So that's also another option. But if you'll let me know, like, why are you feeling discouraged and kind of what's going on, maybe I can help you a little bit more. Kiki, how do you manage having goals in different aspects of your life? I feel like I can only focus on one thing, then other aspects of my life will not be successful. I cannot focus on being successful at P&P, my job, my side gig, my finances. I have goals for all of these things, but seems to be going between them all frequently. So you're right. You can really only have like one main goal at a time. So, the good thing about P&P though is that you can do, you know, you do your 24-hour plan, you can do your discovery worksheets if you go off plan, you can honor your hunger scale, and, you know, maybe not be as into it while you're using all of the P&P tools to work on whatever your main focus is. Or you can also just schedule some time, little time blocks to work on those, you know, on your other goals, and then use P&P as kind of your main goal where you're going to put most of your focus. And the beautiful thing about P&P is all the tools that you learn in here can be applied to your other things, which is really good. And I will tell you, That time management course, Kiki, if you've gone through No BS, Corinne did a time management course. It is phenomenal. It is really so good, and it helps you learn how to block out your time, make the most of your time. I do it every day. I have every minute just about of my day is scheduled out and blocked out for me so that I know exactly. Yes, Laura Massey is Monday, hour one is how Brooke Castillo teaches it. She tells you to put everything on your calendar the first hour, Monday morning, and set up your schedule that way. And that may help you some, but it is, you do need to have one focused goal. Like, I'm all in on this goal, and I can do some work on the other things, but right now my main focus is this one thing, whatever that one thing is. But you can absolutely move yourself forward in other areas, you know, like, you know, I mean, I have another job besides this. So, you know, and I worked there today. And so I have a goal to, you know, be my best for PMP. I have my goal to maintain my weight. I'm almost finished with the life coach school. I'll be done in a few weeks, couple weeks. I'm almost finished. So that's one of my goals. And so I had to really like focus on the one thing that I was going to work on and allow time for the other things, but really be all in on one thing. You're exactly right. Katie, similar to the previous question, the scale has only moved 8 pounds since I started the tribe in September. I have focused on my data and it's my -2 and following plan. I feel like there should be progress rather than none at all. So you have lost 8 pounds since September. You have focused. So you're struggling, I'm assuming, with following your plan and your -2. So you are doing half of the basics consistently, but you're wanting all of the results, right? So your next step is to decide, like, where is my level up? I want more results. And it's good you have your data because you get to see that, like, these are the two things that I really need to work on, right? These are the two things that I know I could improve on and see more results. So then you need to sit down and make a list. These are the things I'm gonna try. These are the things that I'm gonna do in order to step up these other two areas. Because, you know, that's half of the four basics. So I would encourage you to decide, like, what are you gonna do next? Like, how are you gonna level that up? If you see that you're on plan 50% for, you know, January, make your goal to be on plan 60% in February. And then you will start, you know, you'll start to see some results, some more results. Nancy, but if it's dining in, why is the scale not budging? Yes, it's so much better than before. Okay, I'll come back in a month with all the info. Yes, I would love that. And then even get on like office hours or whatever. And we'll go through all of it and see where you need to level up. And we'll go through all of it with you. Sherry, what do I write on my 24-hour plan when I'm going over to a family or friends for dinner and I don't know what they will be serving? So you have a couple choices. So you can do either like -2 to 2, just write that you're going to follow the hunger scale. You can also write like -2 to 2, you know, to +2, best choice. So if you want to eat like something that's going to serve your weight loss, you could put like best decision. If you're just saying whatever, just but within your hunger scale, you can just write -2 to 2. Because you know, as long as you have your brain and your stomach with you, you are in good shape. So, and you can even, you know, just write down like, you know, a carb and a protein or whatever, you know, like kind of a loose thing, or decide ahead of time, am I going to have dessert if they have it, you know, and you can put dessert on your plan, you know, just in case they have it and you may want it, just go ahead and write that down so that whenever you get there, you'll be as prepared as you can for the event and you can just enjoy yourself. Anonymous, I joined in January, but I'm afraid to start. I'm listening to the No BS videos and journaling and doing little steps like listening for hunger cues, drinking water, but not the 24-hour planning. I'm afraid it means I will lose control, as in lose the freedom to eat what I want when I want. And that makes me anxious. Well, let me see. I'm going to reread this last part. I'm afraid it means I will lose control, as in lose the freedom to eat what I want when I want. Well, that is what you have been doing all along, right? And that has not been what has worked for you. Because that's probably what you've been doing all along, right? Just eat what you want when you want. And that's why you came to PMP, so that we can, you know, that, you know, you can learn how to have a better relationship with yourself and a better relationship with food. Because right now you're saying you're going to lose control. Well, you're losing control of your thoughts right now. You're losing control of your thoughts around handling yourself, around making a plan. And look, you can put choices down. You can put a couple of choices down every day for every meal. You know, either pancakes and eggs for breakfast, pancakes or eggs for lunch. You could put a salad, or you could put a sandwich. For dinner, you could put a couple of choices. Because really, I like to think of this as like, what PMP really did for me is help me build a better relationship with myself that I used to always do for everybody else. Like, I would, like, if somebody said, let's go here, I'd be like, oh, okay. And I would reschedule everything just to do what they needed me to do. But the one person I never did it for was me. And so when I started making my 24-hour plan and I started doing everything that I needed to do to lose my weight, I learned that I can keep promises to myself. And whenever I say I'm going to do something, I do it because I said so. And this is the other thing. You're telling yourself the story, I'm afraid to start. Well, you've started. You're doing the things. You're listening to OBS. You're journaling. You are listening for hunger cues. You're drinking water. All you're not doing is the 24-hour plan. You're doing it. You're telling yourself, I'm afraid to start, but you've already started. And what about your 1% level up could be, next week, I'm going to plan 2 choices for breakfast. And start there. Start where you are. Prove to yourself that you can write down a couple of choices and pick from one of those. And then your brain may throw a fit and be like, what the hell? We have pancakes or eggs, but we want, you know, an egg McMuffin from McDonald's. Then you have to say, no, I've given you 2 choices, but tomorrow I will be more than happy to plan an egg McMuffin and we can go get that. In 24 hours, I can have anything I want. Tomorrow, this thing that I'm thinking about right now, I can absolutely have that tomorrow. That's the kind of conversations you want to start having with yourself. So, so that you can, you know, start following your plan. Delta Doodles. The thought of skipping dinner is scary. How long did it take you to get comfortable with doing that? I get that it's a process, but it's okay if I never skip dinner. You know what? I had a conversation with myself last night about skipping dinner. I was like, it's 8:00. You haven't eaten since 11. That's 9 hours. Well, you did have a handful of nuts. That's not really enough. You're going to be so hungry in the morning, you're supposed to run. How are you going to be able to run if you haven't eaten since noon the day before? I still have those talks with myself. It's not like it just like goes away. The one thing, the most uncomfortable thing I ever did in the whole time I was losing weight was the first time I went to Mexican and didn't have chips. That was the scariest. It was not the worst. That was like, you want to talk about some chatter? That was some chatter. So if your big thing is dinner, after you do it once, it gets easier. You know, it just does. It gets so much easier. And I also, whenever I started realizing that I was not going to sometimes be hungry for dinner, I have like some decaf chai tea that I can have anytime. And I can just sit and sip it. I love it. Like for times like that, I'm just not hungry for dinner. But it is. There's conversations. And you're going to have to like keep having those conversations and be like, you know what? I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry right now. And I'm going to learn how to sit with this. That urge meditation is so good that Corinne did in No BS under the urge section. I mean, that's a really good time to sit and journal And like, think about your future self. Like, when you decide not to have dinner one night because you're not hungry, you are deciding to take a step towards your future self. You are deciding to show up as the person that you want to be. You are deciding, like, you're choosing yourself. You're not choosing not to have dinner. You're choosing yourself. And like, you know, a lot of us aren't used to that. Like, I'm going to do this because it's what my body is asking for. It's what's good for me. It's what I know is right. This is the person that I want to become. A lot of times we spend so much time, like, you know, just thinking about right now and not like tomorrow. Like, think about how awesome it would feel to go to bed knowing that, like, you honored your hunger scale. Just think about, like, how that's going to feel for you. That's really a really good way. I always think about, like, my future self is not just, like, the person that's lost all the weight. My future self is me going to bed. Like, what's she doing? What does she feel? How do I want her to feel when she goes to bed? So that's a good way to do it. And is it okay if you never skip dinner? I mean, it's your journey, right? So, I mean, we say eat when you're hungry and stop when you're satisfied. So if you're not at a negative two, I would do a discovery worksheet. If you're not feeding your stomach, you're feeding your thoughts. That's the honest truth about it. Either you're feeding your stomach or you're feeding your thoughts. So that is what I would ask myself. Am I feeding my hunger or feeding my thoughts? Anonymous. Have you had anyone successfully lose weight with managed hypothyroidism? Yes, we have. There are a lot of thyroid issues actually in the tribe. And some of them you can find if you are on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, there is a special diets subgroup, and you can go on there and join them. And if you are not in that group, maybe we could even try to hook you up with someone who has thyroid issues. But yes, there are women with all kinds of health issues that thought that they could not lose weight, and they are losing weight. Anonymous. Okay, so weird question. When I try to gulp water, it sometimes makes me feel sick, hurts my stomach. Is that normal, or should I see a doctor? I just would not gulp the water. Like, maybe you're just drinking it too fast and your stomach just can't handle it. I would drink it a little slower, just see if that helps you. Maybe your stomach just is not like taking in all that at one time, you know? I can't quite explain, Jessica, sorry. I can't quite explain why I feel discouraged. I lost 11.6 pounds in January, and I know this program will work. Yeah, because you lost 11 points. That's awesome. Congratulations. I think I'm scared that I will fall into the same routines I always do where I don't stick with it. I guess I'm anticipating my own failure. It sounds awful. It doesn't sound awful when you write it down. It sounds like a thought that you're having. And I think, you know, if you're a person like I was that had tried diets and failed, there's going to be a little bit like, sometimes. Like, you might have that feeling. That's okay. But that's when you look back at your 11.6 pounds and be like, and there it is. And I'm going to tell you, I started off with a James Clear quote. My favorite quote out of Atomic Habits: once is a mistake, twice is the start of a new habit. It has saved me 1,000 times. So that's what Corinne calls like little quits and big quits. So a little quit is like, today I didn't get my water in. That's just a mistake, right? But when you don't get your water in the second day, it's a start of a new habit. That blew my mind. I was like, so you will never ever see me do something twice in a row. Like, if I don't get my water in one day, never, never, never will you see me do it twice. So that might be something that you could adopt, Jessica. Like, you know, if you notice like patterns that you've done in the past, like, the good news is you know what they are, right? So you can look out for them. You can see if you're like starting to skip things or do things that you don't want to do. Like, just catch them and just look for them. And go back and look at your, that's why this data is so important, because you can look back and be like, and look, I've lost 11.6 pounds, brain, telling me that I'm going to fail again. No, I'm just going to keep moving forward. It's working. I've lost 11.6 pounds and I'm just going to keep going. And sometimes you just have to tell your brain, like, that's the old thoughts. That's stuff we used to think, but we're not going to think that anymore. It didn't serve us in the past and it damn sure ain't going to serve us today. It didn't work before. It ain't going to work now. So I'm choosing to think something else. Bridget, due to my current life status, I have a 4-month-old that I'm breastfeeding and I work full time. That's so sweet. I love that. I breastfed my child for a very long time. I have chosen to prioritize sleep over working out. However, I can't get past the idea that I need to be working out to lose weight. In the past, that's how I lost and maintained my weight, even during pregnancy. I know I'll get back there eventually, but what are some good thoughts to work on now? I'm going to tell you something. When I was a, we didn't have groupies whenever I found Corinne, but she still did her Wednesday live and I got bursitis in my knee, like in a mighty way. Like it was crazy. I was on a walker. I had to get my husband up every night, help me go to the bathroom. I was, oh my God, so bad. I could not even unload a dishwasher. Like I could not even walk. I got on the live with Corinne and I asked the question. Like I was walking at the time. I was like, and I can't exercise and it's, you know, whatever. And she said, you use the time that you would exercise to journal or whatever else. And she said, but you really have to focus on your four basics. Y'all, that was the biggest weight loss I've ever had with PMP. I lost 6 pounds in a week and I didn't move. And that's what proved to me that I could lose weight and I exercise. So that's what I'm gonna offer you, Bridget. Hone in on those four basics like a boss and prove to yourself that it's not true. Because that's just a thought that you have, right? Exercise is not, you don't have to exercise. There's a ton of women who don't work out at all and lose all their weight. So, I mean, it's just a thought that you're having that, you know, because that's what you're telling yourself, that's what's worked in the past. But you've probably never done PMP, right? So those four basics, hone in on them and just prove to yourself, because the thought is going to come up and you're just going to say, no, that's not true. It's just not true. And sometimes these thoughts, y'all, that's it. You just have to be like, and that's crap. And that's not true. I'm just going to believe something else right now. And you're taking care of a little baby. You should absolutely. I'm glad you're choosing sleep because that is the best thing for you. JCQ, how do you reconcile where you'd like to be versus where you are currently? Have my oldest son's graduation in June and had hoped I'd be a lot further along. Feeling like, fuck it now. Well, guess what? If you fuck it now, you really won't be there by June. Think about how far you could be by June. If you go all in, right? You are where you are right now, right? Throwing in the towel, you for sure won't get there by June. But if you go all in, you'll be way further than you are now. Like, you can absolutely be further along than you are right now in June. Think about how much you could do. I mean, that's March, April, May, like 4 months. I mean, I want you to ask yourself, what does effort get you right now? Does it get you anywhere closer to where you want to be? And it's no. The answer is no. I mean, you can either, I mean, your weight right now is your weight right now. That's where it is. I mean, you thought you would be further along, but you are right where you are. You have learned what you've learned up to this point. You've shown up like you've shown up to this point. You have information right now at this point that is going to help you move forward. Everything else that's happened before is just you being in training to prepare yourself from now till you get to June. That's exactly what it is. How can you show up as your best self for your son and for yourself for this graduation in June? That's what I would ask myself. Shelly, I feel like I may not be putting enough food on my plan. So like last evening, I was hungry already within an hour of supper as I just had salad without protein. Right. So I had an off-plan snack, which wasn't so bad as I just had a small portion of healthy popcorn. after, as I know it, is even harder to sleep when starving, hungry. I assume it would be better, as far as my brain goes, to plan more food and not eat at all than to add more if not planned. Is that right? Yes. So what you can do to make yourself go, I mean, because you had a salad without protein, you can absolutely, I would add some like fat, some protein, you know, you can put an avocado on there, put some cheese on there, even add some nuts if you want to. That's going to help you go a little bit longer. But if you're just going to plan on having a salad without protein, I would plan something else. And like you said, you don't have to eat it all at all. But like last night, that's your data. And when I plan a salad without protein, I'm going to need a little bit more. And then you, that's when you plant, put more on your plan, and you don't have to eat it all. Anonymous, my husband is struggling to support me. He's full of old diet rules, and I feel like he's rolling his eyes every time I try to justify my food choices. Short of forcing him to watch the videos, how can I help him understand it? He's a naturally skinny guy with no food issues, so has no idea what it's like, but he's trying, just missing the mark. So you feel like he's rolling his eyes every time you try to justify your food choices. Okay, let him roll his eyes. I mean, he's doing his best to support you. He's showing up as best as he can to give you the support that you need. And he's doing it in the best way that he can. I would be like, thank goodness. My husband wears a, he wears a 31 waist, by the way. And he has never had a pound of fat. And he does the same thing. He always says, I don't eat enough. And now at parties, he'll say, don't you think, like, if I'm standing in the kitchen, he'll say, don't, like, in the earshot of me, so he knows I hear, don't you think she should be done losing weight? Like, to my friends. I think, maybe, don't you think you should talk to her? I mean, yeah, that's, but he is supportive, but now he wants me to be done, which I am done. But, I mean, he rolls his eyes. My husband says the things. He can say all those things. And I can choose to like buy into it or not, but it sounds like your husband is doing the very best that he can. Cause like you said, he doesn't understand weight loss, and that's okay. And he can, you know, he can roll his eyes, or you even feel like he rolls his eyes. Maybe he's not even rolling his eyes. I would just keep doing what you're doing and let him show up as he can for you. And if you need him to do something else, you can have a conversation with him, you know, but let him do him. And it sounds like he's, you know, he's trying, he's just missing the mark. He's just not showing up as you think he should show up. Like you have an idea of how he needs to support you through your weight loss, and he's not doing exactly like you think he should. But you know what? He's there and he is supportive. So I would just let the eye rolls continue. Let him do his eye rolls. Anna, what is the best way to figure out what area to deal with in life? I feel like all things come in at once and take up all my mental energy. Dealing with all the emotions of husband continuously being deployed, daughter graduating high school and asserting her 18-year-old independence, figuring out what path to continue with my 5-year-old who is autistic, with his education healing from, is that marital issues? There seems to be a lot to unpack and working through the emotions in each area. Well, you know what? Things happen every day, and you're going to deal with them as they come up. And then you're going to also be doing some, you know, some journaling and some TDLing and identify some thoughts. And I bet you once you start doing that, you're going to find some thoughts that go across all of these areas, right? You're going to find some stuff, some thoughts that you can clean up in one area that are going to help you in the other areas. So, you know, I feel like all things come in at once and take up all my mental energy. You know, life is busy sometimes, not busy. There's a lot of things going on in life sometimes, right? So, but you're on this call right now. So it's not taking up all of your time, right? You just need to look at the things that you're able to do and the time that you're able to give to yourself and start working through some of these things. Like, start writing down these thoughts, start journaling, and see what you come up with. And a lot of it will bleed from one thing to the other. You know, you're probably, your daughter's going to be graduating high school and leaving. Your husband's being deployed. That means he's leaving. Like, a lot of that stuff is going to, that's all going to come together. Whenever you start working on one issue, you'll start to notice that a lot of it is like mingled in together. So that's what I would tell you to do, is just start. I mean, what area to deal with in your life? I mean, you know, you just kind of have to pick one. What is most pressing to you? And it could change every day. You know, I mean, you have a son with autism, or a child with, a son with autism. You know, if he has an issue at school, then that's going to be your number one priority that day. Your 18-year-old daughter, whenever she's having an issue, that's going to be your number one priority that day, other than yourself, of course. So just, you know, just take it as it comes and start to do the thought work around and the models around all of that stuff. And then you'll start to see that it'll clear up. It'll start to clear up from one area to the next. Anonymous, does intermittent fasting count as a level up? It depends if you want to do intermittent fasting. I used to do it. I didn't love it. I don't do it anymore. Corinne used to do it. She didn't love it. It just depends on what feels good in your body. Some people love intermittent fasting and they do it and it's like the bomb and they think it's the greatest thing ever. Some people do it and they just don't like it at all. So you can try it and see if you like it. And some people love it. Some people don't. It just is really personal preference. You'll find both in the in PMP. You'll find both. There's a big camp that does it and a big camp that doesn't do it. Jill, what advice would you tell someone who constantly goes off plan and promises to restart fresh tomorrow, then does the same thing again and again? Like, what the hell is wrong with me? You know what? There's no tomorrow. That's why. Tomorrow never comes, right? All you have is today. So you go off plan at lunch, next best decision. Always next best decision. What can I do? Why throw away the day when you save it, right? You can absolutely make a different choice at the next meal, at the next snack. You don't have to throw away the whole day. That's exactly what I would tell myself. You don't have to throw the day away over one choice. And next best decision. I mean, that's what Corinne always talks about. What can I do next? What, you know, what's coming up next? What can I do? How can I save this day and make it the best day that I can make it? That's what I would tell myself. R. Jones, make goal weight in December. Congratulations. Going through no BS again, not to the maintenance section yet, but I have some fear about gaining again. What mindset do you suggest? That one section is so good. So really, you just keep doing what you're doing. Nothing changes. Everything stays exactly like it was. I mean, and if you've made goal weight, probably you've developed some pretty decent habits as far as like making and following your 24-hour plan. You probably know your hunger scale. All that stuff is habits. And you're not gonna get rid of those because they're your habits, right? So I would get through that section and just keep leaning on the habits. Nothing changed. I know people always say, like, what did you do when you got the goal weight? And I was like, I stood on the scale. I got off. I stood on it again. I got off. I did a little happy dance. And then I sat down and wrote my 24-hour plan. And that's what maintenance looks like. It looks just like weight loss with, like, two extra bites in a meal. That's really all it is. I keep sabotaging myself. Did you do that when you first started? Well, I mean, I did some. I'm sure I did. But, you know, self-sabotage is just, it's just from thoughts that you have. Like, I'm never going to figure this out. I may as well go ahead and eat. Like, whatever those thoughts are. That's why the thought work is so important. Because you have thoughts that you're telling yourself. Probably that this is not going to work. I've tried stuff before. It's never worked for me. This probably isn't the best thing for me to do. I'll just eat. And you prove your thought, right? So you need to really sit down and identify what your thoughts are about weight loss and about yourself and about how this is going to work, and figure out what you want to think. And also, a lot of times what I see with people with self-sabotage is they are not celebrating every single win. Every single win. If you're getting your water, you are like, I got my damn water in. Like, that's my thing. Like, you need to celebrate every single thing that you do so that you can start to prove to yourself that you are doing the things, that you are doing what you're supposed to do. So that would be my suggestion to you. Sandy, if I don't reach my negative two by evening time and I have a glass of wine instead of eating anything, how do you think that will affect my weight loss? I don't know. You'll have to see, you know? So if you don't, I'm assuming the wine is planned. So if it's planned, then you're not off plan. But I mean, I never really do by the hunger scale, unless it's something like, if I'm going to go to Starbucks or something and get my drink, which has a lot of heavy cream in it. That's usually as like a replacement meal replacement as I'm out. And it's if I'm hungry. But if I'm just going to have a glass of wine or water or coffee or my chai tea, whatever, I don't count that as my negative and positive two. I don't do that within my hunger scale, unless, like I said, it's my drink. Jessica, you mentioned in the Zoom the other day that you're big into using post-it notes. Same here. I have one in my pantry that says, "Are you hungry?" It works about 50% of the time. What other things do you do to walk away from urges? My sticky notes on my stuff say, is this on your plan? And then the other one, which I always love, is this worth the time it will take you to lose the weight? That's my favorite sticky. It's still in my refrigerator and it's on my wine cooler. So you're having, I have one on my pantry. It works about 50% of the time. So urges, I mean, it's, sometimes they don't feel good. I think sometimes you have to look at them and you look at your sticky, are you hungry? And then if you still want it and it's not really helping, you know, that urge, you know, that whatever is not really helping, you're going to have to be ready for it to feel like crap for a minute. And the urge is that 90 second urge thing that Corinne talks about, where you just stop, you wait 90 seconds, you take a few deep breaths. Because when you have an urge, it sends up like chemicals and hormones and stuff in your body. And it's like a rush of them. And it takes about 90 seconds for them to kind of die down a little bit. And that is very helpful. It gives your body kind of time to flush all that out. And then the urge seems like so urgent at first, it dies down a little bit after 90 seconds. It does not feel as I don't want to say important, but I don't feel like the surge like I feel at the very beginning. So that 90 second thing, it 100% works. I would try that. Just wait 90 seconds. Thank you, Jennifer. Summer, I've lost 29 pounds with another 40 to go, but I'm struggling with the idea that I have to keep eating less and less to keep the scale moving. I know it's true, but my toddler brain says, but we already stopped eating the bigger portions we used to eat. How can I get my brain on board? It's this toddler. It's going to keep pitching its fit. But the whole thing is, this is the thing. You're going to be eating less and less because you need less and less. You won't even desire that much. Like, your brain at 29 pounds lost is trying to assume what your brain at 59 pounds lost is going to be thinking. She does not know. That brain is going to be like, oh, this is all we really need. We don't need anything else in this. It's not going to be as big of a deal as it is right this minute. Because you're assuming, this is what you're assuming. You're assuming that your body is still going to want as much food as it wants now with 40 more pounds gone. That's not true. When you lose weight, your body requires less So your hunger scale will adjust and you will be completely satisfied and it won't feel like less. It's not like you'll be extra hungry because you have to eat less. Your body will require less. So you'll still have your same positive two. You'll still get that feeling of satisfied, but it'll be a little bit less food. So just tell your toddler brain, hush, like you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't even know what you're, we're not even gonna want that much food then. That's what I would tell it. Chris, I've been in the trap for a year, lost 35 pounds, 50 to go. The last couple of months have yo-yoed the same 5 pounds and struggled with staying motivated. Did this happen to you? I did. My last 25 pounds took me a minute to lose. What did you do to get back to an all-in attitude? I'm hanging in, but sometimes it feels like just barely. I just kept reminding myself there are four basics. There are four. That is it. I just kept reminding myself of how easy it was. There's four. I only have to do four things every day. I have to sleep. I have to drink water. I have to write a plan, which takes like 3 minutes. And I have to just stop when I'm satisfied and eat when I'm hungry. Like, I legit have four things to do. And I just did them. And I'm going to tell y'all, too, I had Corinne in my ear every day, at least for a few minutes. I just did. And on the website, if you look up Best of Corinne's Rants, it's little short snippets of Corinne bitching at you about something. And it's so helpful. Like, because, you know, that's why we all listen to her in the first place, right? Like, we all listen to her because she had that, like that loud in your face, like this is how it is kind of an attitude. And when I am feeling like, you know, unmotivated or whatever, I go on there and I put her in my ear. And this is the other thing I'm going to tell you about motivation, Chris. Motivation follows action. There is not a word. There is not a meme. There's not a video to get you motivated. It may get you a thought that spurs you into action, but unless you act, you absolutely will not be motivated. I have a kitchen towel with that on it in my kitchen. I'll have to take y'all on a tour of my P&P kitchen at some point. I have a towel in there that says motivation follows action. And I also have a towel in there that says not on my plan, not in my mouth, not on my ass. And then I have all my stickies. Yeah. Nicole, I've been off the rails for the last 2 weeks with work trips. It's all in my head. I know. I'm glad you said that, Nicole. Next best decisions, walking, planning, wait for negative two and drinking lots of water. And a major TDL. Any ideas? Any other ideas? You know what? Back to the four basics. Like the four, you legit have to do four things. That's it. So that's exactly where I would start. And I would start too with like going back and looking at what you were doing and what you were eating, like leading up to the trip, and start planning that same, you know, like what were you enjoying? Like, look back at it. Like, what foods was I really liking? You know, what did I like? If you have, and if you've been on a work trip, start where you are right now. So include the foods you were enjoying before your trip, but you may want to add in a couple more snacks on your 24-hour plan right now, or give yourself a little bit more of a choice right now, since you have been eating all the things. Don't try to go back and have the same plan you had right before your trip. Have your plan for tomorrow. Have your plan for today. Do whatever works for you right now. Don't try to go back to where you were. Start where you are right now. You'll get back to it very quickly. What kept you going when you felt like you weren't making progress? I'm the cheerleader in my head. I talk about her all the time. I celebrated every single thing I did. I was always making progress because if I followed my 24-hour plan and my scale was not moving, I was showing up for myself like a boss. Like, that's what I would tell myself. Like, if I, you know, the progress was in my head. It was the talk that I was telling myself. It was the words that I was saying to myself. It was the way that I felt about myself. Because there were times that I was like at a plateau or, you know, kind of stopped losing for a while. But I just looked around for everything else because I was making progress. I had never prepped food or planned food ever in my whole life. And I was like, I'm showing up like a boss every day planning this food. Like, I'm getting up every day and journaling. Like, I was becoming such a different person. I had so much evidence around me that I was making progress. You know, like, I was never short of finding progress. You know, I was not. And I just, that's what I kept telling myself. Like, I look at everything that I'm changing, not just my food, which is awesome, but I was starting to feel better. Like, I realized like what foods felt like crap to me. I was not eating them. And then I wasn't feeling like crap. That was progress. Like, you just look for progress everywhere you can find it because it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. You know, I mean, like, my daughter even said one time, like, all the other mamas are going crazy and you're not going crazy because we're all in menopause. You know how it goes. That was progress. You know, I used to yell at my kids all the time. I would realize that I would start yelling at them and like just catch myself and back off. That's progress. That is progress. I still do yell sometimes, but do you have, Anonymous, do you have any input on weigh scales that show body fat hydration? I have the Renfo. Is that what it's called, y'all? Is it Renfro or Renfo? I got it off of the Amazon from Design. I'll show it to you. I'll show you my app. I'll tell you what it's called. It tells you Renfo, R-E-N-P-H-O is Renfo. And it will tell you like your BMI, body fat, subcutaneous fat. It tells you more than you need to know about yourself. I don't really know how accurate it is, but I mean, that's what I have. That's the one. That is the one that I use. And I think a lot of people use that one too. Heather, I'm doing a great job. I'm planning my meals daily, journaling, drinking my water, and going to sleep at a decent time. I have worked out for a month and a half consistently, and I love it. I found what I love to do, and my body is loving it. My weight loss is stalled. I'm not panicked, just curious. I'm wondering if I need to eat less. What cues do you look for when you think your positive two changes? What you can start to do is do that on the clock challenge that Corinne, that we do as a tribe, you know, where you think you're hungry and then you wait an hour and then you drink water, then you wait an hour and then you see if you're hungry for your negative two. And then for your positive two, it's the same thing. Like when your thoughts start to wander, when your thoughts start to wander, or you start to think maybe I'm at my positive two, really think about how your body feels. Like sit with it for a second. See if there's cues that are any different. My cues pretty much stayed the same. I wait till a stomach growl whenever I'm hungry, and then I do get the sigh whenever I'm full or satisfied. But I also start to pick. I look for bits and parts that I like a lot better. And then I start asking myself, so I would look at your thoughts and see if you notice a thought that you might have. Kristen, night eating and drinking is a habit I really want to kick. I was planning so I could be realistic. I'm ready to stop this altogether. What advice do you have when I'm in the thick of it and my fiance asks if I want a drink, snack, while we enjoy a show together? I know I can say no and sit with the urge and remember my goals, but some nights I just say screw it and I want to enjoy it with him. I want to make sure that you are taking the habit down realistically. You know, make sure that you're like not going, you know, I was eating all the things and drinking all the things at night and now I'm just like not. You know, make sure that you like step it down kind of like I did with wine. Like step down your consumption. But I would also, this is what I want to ask you. This is the question you need to ask yourself. Why does drinking and eating have anything to do with spending time with him? What is the goal of the evening? When you're sitting there with him, I mean, eating and drinking, it's not going to make your time with him more connected, right? As a matter of fact, you can be more connected with him when you're not eating. So I would just, that's really what I would want to know. Like, what are my thoughts about saying no to him? And what am I making that mean about our relationship and the way that I'm wanting to communicate with him? That's what I would journal about and ask myself. Jen, how do you guys handle wearing yourself after you've traveled? I heard you get swelling when flying, so the scale won't reflect your real weight. Is that true? Yes. I made a huge mistake after the sixth day. I got on my scale. That was not a good idea. It was a lot. And then I lost 4 pounds in a day. That's how much fluid I was hanging on to. 4 pounds. I got home Saturday. I weighed on Sunday and Monday. I was down 4 pounds. And I haven't weighed since. I normally don't weigh and the amount of days that I'm gone. Like, so if I'm gone 6 days, I don't weigh for 6 days. If I, you know, whatever it is, that's usually my rule of thumb. If I'm gone 3 days, I wait 3 days to weigh. That's usually how I handle it. But I hold on to some fluid like nobody's business. And I had not been getting my water in. See, I'm almost done, y'all. Almost done. And whenever I don't get my water in and then I get my gallon back in, I will hold water for a couple of days too. But yes, you do. You are usually up after travel. Lisa, this is the last question, y'all. It is 7 o'clock. I had started walking several weeks ago after just not walking because it's not a basic. You're exactly right. Exercise is not a basic. I was walking anywhere from 2 to 4 miles on my treadmill nightly. I have been having pain in my hips and down my left side sciatic. I have a chiropractor appointment scheduled for next week, but I'm guilting myself for not walking because it hurts so bad the next day. Is there anything I can do to help with the pain while not walking and after walking? Should I even be walking now? I don't know. That's something to ask your doctor. I mean, you could try slowing down and see if that helps just to get a little bit of movement in. But there is a lot more ways to move your body than walking on a treadmill. I would look up, like, if you want to move your body, and it sounds like you might have a little bit of tightness or something, you could even look up beginner yoga on YouTube. Some of those beginner, I'm going to be honest, y'all. I'm not very bendy. And some of those beginner yoga programs are like, I don't even know. I don't know where they're beginning. They are not beginning where I'm beginning. Somebody last year, I almost think, and Don't Stop Believing, looked up geriatric yoga, like for old people. And that was like their starting point. I was like, that's brilliant. That's probably where I would start. Is it geriatric yoga? You can do chair yoga. You can do all of that stuff. But, you know, Lisa, I was saying earlier in the call about where I had gotten in the habit of walking and then I hurt myself. I had that bursitis. I was going nowhere fast. And Corinne said, if I wanted to keep the time, still keep my exercise time and use it as exercise for my brain. That's what I did for those 2 weeks that I couldn't do anything. And she said, still keep that time block, but either read a book, listen to a podcast, journal, whatever, so that that time stays your time, so that when you feel better, you'll still have that time blocked out for yourself, and then you can go back to walking, because I was walking as well. And that did help. So that could be another thing that you could do. You think of this time as exercise for your brain. So that could be a good idea. You might try that. It did work for me, because the queen told me to. So that's exactly, I did everything the queen said. So, all right. Let me see when our next call is. I have too much. I have everything up on this calendar and you know, I can't see it. I think your next call is, Sunday, weekly planning and office hours with Kathy. I believe that is what is next. All right, y'all. I will talk to you later. Y'all have a great night. Enjoy the rest of your evening. I'm going to try not to float away in the storm that we're having outside. Bye, y'all.